Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Movie Monday show with Nancy and Lisa. You know, we're the crazy mother-daughter travel team on the Love Your Parks tour, where we document public lands and parks. And also, as we do that, we produce our radio shows here, Big Blend Radio, and digital magazines of all kinds of genres. So check it all out at blendradioandtv.com. But today, we're super excited to have filmmaker, director, and writer Chris Canfield join us to talk about his new Western film. It's called Blackwood. You've got to go see this. Like, seriously, it's out in theaters July 22nd. Isn't it cool to even say that now? Like, theaters are open. And on demand on, you know, digitally through Saban Films. Now he's going to have to tell me how to pronounce it. It is out digitally July 26th. And you're going to want to see this because it's the legend of Wendigo. And Wendigo. I think this is one of, I think Nancy, you and I both agreed. The first thing is like, who really, having lived in Africa and South Africa, Kenya, grown up, you know, being raised on these stories that were passed down, African legends, very few movies and TV shows were ever produced showing these legendary stories. And I think that's what Chris has done really well, an amazing group of actors and just an amazing film of sharing the legend of Wendigo, because you rarely see the Native American stories being told in this way. Welcome, Chris.
Oh, sorry. Hello. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey. So go ahead, Nancy.
Oh, I was just going to say the one thing, the saying that still sticks with me, and I use it all the time, from Africa, is I will kill you and eat your feet. And yeah, because that way you can't walk to heaven. So it that's a huge thing. And so
well, that's a nice welcome for Chris to the show.
I know, that's awesome, dude. Because like I'm looking at this movie, and the one thing that really freaks people out is being eaten by another person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. This, where did you get Wendigo? Like, neither one of us had heard of it. This story, but then you know, you did so well of bringing different groups of people together in a show, a movie, like telling the story of different people. And then no matter what, it's like one of those things, you're stuck on a ship and you're all going to have to get through it together, whether you like each other or not. Yep. Different backgrounds, different languages, different terrain.
Different ages.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So where did this come from?
So with the Wendigo or Wendigo, it depends on where where you're from, how you say it. But it's mostly a northern kind of legend. It's Great Plains and the northeastern kind of legend. And when I was doing my research for this story, this one kind of reached out to me a little bit, not just because of the, you know, monster aspect of it, but there's a deeper rooted story within this character. Like, this actually was in my story, at least, this was this creature was actually a human being trying to do good, and in the end nobody wanted to have them around anymore, so he became an outcast. And then it's trying to, you know, how do you deal with like helping your family, your relatives, you know, your friends, and then they don't want you around anymore. So it kind of, there was like a sadness to it as well. So it was kind of a misunderstanding. And when you watch the movie, you'll realize a lot of the characters, like it's a lot of misunderstanding, either language barrier, or they're just not willing to, you know, figure out what happened or going wrong. Everyone's acting on emotions. But then as you discover the characters, and even with the Wendigo, you realize there's a deeper part of everything. And that, you know, there's more meaning to it than just a creature in the woods.
But that's the storytelling aspect, right? and when I was talking about Africa, you know, these stories were like stars and starlight were spears lit from the heavens that would come down and drop down to you. When you saw a shooting star, it was a spear, and it was like a connection, and so everything was kind of metaphorical, right? And so that's what I kind of got from the film. It was a bunch of misfits get together and really go, and if someone is a misfit or an outcast, however you want to say it, there's a reason. And a lot of times that means you've got some kind of strength somewhere. You know, absolutely. You did. Yeah, there's a strength because you showed each character's strength. And I want to tell people, if you go to the website, theblackwoodmovie.com, what's awesome is you can connect with each cast member, especially once you've watched the film mm-hmm. or are going to. You really connect with the cast of who the backstory of each cast member.
Absolutely. And that was one thing I wanted to do, you know, make sure that every character had its own, like you said, backstory. Even when I was casting, I wasn't just having them read lines from the script. I gave them, you know, the paragraph of where their character came from. And because that kind of contributed to how they would be within the, where we find them in the story right now. Mm-hmm. And having that little bit on that website. Yeah. It kind of gives a little bit more insight to who these characters are.
It's cool because you can see the story from different viewpoints. And mm-hmm. then you can also kind of say, oh, I'm that one over there. I'm that character over there. That's how mm-hmm. I would be acting possibly mm-hmm. or be acting like this one over there. So I think by having that many people, having almost like, I would say equal parts, mm-hmm. you know, in the mm-hmm. story. Yeah, that. It was really exciting and interesting, and you could see yourself in some parts of it.
That makes me very happy that you are mentioning that, because that was one thing that I keep saying about this project. You know, like, I don't know if it's everybody's cup of tea, but at least the characters themselves, I feel like people can some at least attach themselves to one person. And like you said, I seem like I would be that person in this situation, but yeah. I feel like no matter who watches this, you should be able to connect yourself to at least somebody, you know?
And, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's the legend of Wendigo or Wendigo. I want to go Wendigo. It just feels,
I know, it's happening. Wendigo.
Whatever. I like it. Yeah, it's just a musical thing, you know, but yeah. Can you give everyone kind of an overview of the story? Because I don't want to screw it up, because I will. I don't, you know, in other words, I do not want to give away, like, you have to watch it to see like what inspires, but can you give everyone just an overview of the story and the characters? Because I mean, these are really strong characters with, I mean, you're like, dude, where did you come out of, you know? And one lady, the lady that's in the bar.
Oh yeah.
My God, she's a little toughy. And I'm like, I know that face. And she turns out she's from Tyler, Texas. I was like, Googling her, because I'm like, I know this woman's name. And a lot of them look really familiar to me, mm-hmm. a lot of the actors. And she turns out she's from Tyler, Texas, the Rose Capital of America, which is a place we've actually covered on our shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. I'm going, no way. Maybe that's who, she had posters up there. But she's also done, I mean, her resumes, they're exceptional. Your cast is exceptional.
Oh, absolutely. But especially her, like she you know, hats off to everybody in that scene, but she kind of steals that whole bar scene, you know? She owns it, and like working with her was a treat. She had a lot of dialogue. She had a lot of things to remember, even like cues, like looking over and stuff like that. But she was a true professional, and I think she's done a lot of theater, you know, with the people at the table, Glenn Morshower and Bates Wilder. I think they have more feature films under their belt, but she did a really good job keeping up with those mm-hmm. two, and actually just stole the scene. It's a character that you will remember, you know, even yeah. though it's great.
It's like, don't mess with her, man.
Yeah, she's got such a small role, but it's powerful. It was it set the whole story going forward. But also the Native America. Okay, give everybody an introduction of the movie, because I don't want to mess it up.
A short synopsis of it. So So the story of Blackwood revolves around an indigenous woman named Doan Howie, who evades the notorious Dutch Wilder gang by escaping into the uncharted Blackwood Forest. And then once inside, they quickly discover that they have to work together, for they have unknowingly awakened an ancient creature known as the Wendigo or Wendigo.
Wendigo. Sorry, we're stuck on it. But when they, yeah, when they are. But when they go out, you know, this is what's so weird, because everything was like facing your demons. You know, there was like that famous thing about hug the monster. And this is exactly, it's like you can't, in that little girl, her sister or cousin, you know, that little girl that keeps showing up in the film, kind of beckoning it. Yeah, keep coming forward this way. Come this way. And I'm like going, oh boy, you're so being led. And then when you had Dutch, he had to change through that. I mean, it was just like even him and the other guy having little shoot down, basically the two older men. I was like, well, that looks like Congress right now. Sorry.
Oh, great.
It was like the old white man juke off, you know. It was like, here, you know, it was just but it's what happens. That is life.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Well, I was playing with all the characters, even with the with the woman that's in the bar, Pickard. Mm-hmm. I was playing a lot with power struggle and trying to, you know, be on top of the other person. When you watch it too, we actually played with the camera language and stuff like that, and blocking and everything like that. So when someone thinks they're on top, you know, they're standing over the other person. And vice versa. And it was a fun thing to do, especially with the actors and stuff, to kind of have that power dynamic. And, you know, some people, you know, they rise and fall in the same shot or same scene, you know, and it kind of it shows that through the story as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is weird. Would you ever consider taking, you know, most people go, well, not most, but like there's movies made from a book, right? And everybody gets, oh, did the movie do it as good as the book? You know, there's always that drama. But would you consider taking this and turning it into a book? Because I feel like there's so much.
A series.
Like, this could actually be an epic series. Like, I want more of it. And well, I've not really watched so much of, like, what we started talking in the beginning is, you know, using Native American, you know, legends and stories and folklore. Normally, it's like, here's your movie of the West and here's the Indians and here are the cowboys. Let's have a fight. But it's always from the white man's perspective.
Yep.
You know, and so this was a little bit of a turnaround, actually kind of a big turnaround, I should say, because it was giving us a different inside look, an understanding of what these stories mean. And as we look at our Native, you know, friends out there right now, they're really working hard to document these stories and their languages. It's a really big issue right now, is to document the language. So I think there's something really important that goes beyond just a let's have a good time at a movie, that you're actually documenting stories in a storytelling fashion that hasn't really been done that much, you know?
Absolutely. And thank you for saying that. Going to the book thing, I don't see why not. Like, there's a lot of depth to all these characters, and you know, you can always carry it on past this story, or you could, you know, start it before this story and everything like that. But yeah, there's totally an opportunity to do that. And when I was when I was putting this together, I wanted to stay true to the culture and the lore. When you look up the Wendigo, you'll find a lot of similar stories about it. There was one though that I found that actually related to what I put into the movie. I made it work in the narrative a little bit more just based on the locations I had, but overall the core of that story is still there with, you know, somebody trying to help their family and then they get banished forever. And I wanted to stay true to that. And I know a lot of people, when they watch this, you know, on the surface, it might look like a creature feature or like a Western, like your typical shoot 'em up Western and stuff like that. But I really wanted to give more depth to that, to make it, you know, richer and kind of give it more of a cinematic feel, because I know this is a lower budget movie, but I wanted to give that the feel of being back, like the old school cinema feel of movies and stuff like that, and story, characters, and, you know, those grand shots of the Black Hills and everything. I kind of feel helps kind of bring it all together.
No, I think you did a great job with it. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel low budget when you're watching it.
Your photography was amazing.
And,
insane. And the music, oh my God.
Yeah, the music is
awesome. The music was, the music is what drove it home.
It's awesome. Yeah. But you sent me down the rabbit hole now because
I know
I can't pull out because now I end up spending the day looking at the difference between horns and antlers.
Yeah.
Now check. Yeah. So the antlers fall off once a year and grow back.
Yeah.
Now horns don't. So like an animal with horns, like a pronghorn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus a deer. See, now you're looking at like, okay, with the Wendigo or Wendigo, is it antlers or horns? Because if the horn, if the antlers fall off once a year, you got a new Wendigo coming.
Absolutely.
Up. You see?
Absolutely. So that's,
dude, it's such a cool series.
And I guess it depends on which lore you kind of want to go with, because some of them are horns that is just, you know, like the face is like a like an animal skull with horns, and that is the actual face of it. The others, some other stories, lores are, they can remove it, basically. They can remove the mask and they have something underneath it. And we wanted to try to do something like that with this one, but we started looking at all the other movies that are coming out, and a lot of the deep in the woods horror movies have the antagonist or the creature wearing a skull to try to be creepy, you know? So this one, we did it more as like a headpiece that came off. And I think it makes it stand out a little bit more by doing that.
Yeah. That was wild in the film. Like, cause you expect like you were saying, oh, the creature feature. Right. And this is where you really went like, no, here's the story. Like this is the human part.
Yep.
And you could see how you slowly changed it as the story progresses, and everyone, when you watch it, you'll see what we mean. It was really fascinating, but also looking, Nancy dragged me in the rabbit hole too. But
well,
this is all your fault, Chris. But I think this is fantastic.
No,
you're welcome.
This is important. I think the more people go down rabbit holes, it's better than arguing on social media and maybe learn something.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to say about the rabbit hole going in the images. So when you talk about the horns, so there's the Yaqui deer dancer, where they, I mean, it's almost identical in some ways. And so, and that's in Southern Arizona, like the Yaqui tribe, and they do the same kind of horn. Like, so it's wild to me. Like when you could, yeah, this is another rabbit hole.
Well, and then the eating of human flesh. Having spent so many years in Africa,
there are. Well, remember Getty Ruins, Nancy?
And
Getty?
Then, the Getty Ruins where everybody ate each other.
Yep.
That was crazy. But there's blood diseases that you get from eating human flesh if you're a human.
Absolutely.
That animals don't get, which is like nature's way of saying, don't do this. But then you think of vampires and drinking blood and that whole thing. So I'm like, I'm telling you, you can have a new Wendigo every series. You have to do a TV series.
And Rice, watch out. Like, seriously, it could be like, think about it. Well, when you look at different cultural history around the world, that's what's so weird. I mean, where there are stories in African lore that are the same stories in Native American lore.
Absolutely.
You can look at religions and you can do all of that. And again, big rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. And I found it even with Middle Eastern cultures that connect with Native American cultures that connect with Asian culture. I mean, it's like, and then if you start looking at latitude lines around the globe, and then you look at stories, like that's a huge rabbit hole.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. Once you actually start
Okay, see, I knew.
Yeah.
And so, and Chris, you are a professional rabbit holer.
When I was doing the research for this, it took a long time to read a lot of the stories and stuff like that. Then after a while, I was just like, I gotta write something because I can just keep going.
Yeah. I wanted to say that. I mean, for you, when did this start? And like, when, I mean, this, watching it, the first thing Nancy and I were like, the cinematography on this is insanely
awesome.
Good.
It's awesome.
And you bring the true Western grit, the miners, you know, the plains, you know, the whole, everything was so very authentic, but you knew there was this weird thing out there. You know, it's almost sci-fi like, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not. And so this is really different. Like, and that's a good thing. So for you to go through, let's write this, have this idea in your head, go through that kind of research. And that's why we keep talking about the rabbit hole is crazy. Mm-hmm. But I love that because we want people to connect with these stories and understand, you know, the indigenous people of this land. You know, I think that's a very important thing that people understand who has been living here for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge thing. But then now let's make the movie mm-hmm. authentically and have that amazing cinematography, have these amazing, you know, characters and cast and crew, and put this whole thing together. Like, as you're watching it, and then like after we stopped, it's like, this is a big piece of work. Like, yeah, how I mean, do you sleep?
You know? Yeah, but I could see a different, like, I'm on a TV series here, a different Wendigo in different countries, because every country has one.
But let's just focus on this for a second. Let's just focus on this. How much work, I'll just go back to that. Like, how much work went into this to make this one thing happen? Nancy wants a full series.
I do.
So this is why I want everybody to understand how much work went into this one, to see if it's a reality, like for absolutely. A series.
Of course, you know, you put enough work towards something, anything can become a reality for sure. This one, when I first came up with the idea, I grew up my latter half of my teen years in South Dakota. So I was kind of engulfed into the Lakota culture. You know, it's everywhere around South Dakota and stuff like that. And having worked with a lot of the Native Americans in that area and stuff like that, I got to learn, you know, how they live, what their view of life is, and even just of the world and everything like that. And I felt like I wanted to make something that kind of was their voice a little bit, and not to the point where it's like I'm trying to like make myself like the savior of them, but I just wanted to give them an a pedestal, basically, a little mm-hmm. bit. So the language that's spoken in this movie mostly is Lakota, but when I first started doing this, I wanted to make it a Western, because I had access, I knew people that had the horses, the period correct saddles, as well as the wardrobe and everything like that. The wardrobe person, Jim Hatzel, and our wranglers, Stan and Nick Schultz, these gentlemen, they've been working in Western movies. You know, they did Dances with Wolves, cool. Gettysburg, mm-hmm. you know, whenever there was like a big Western 20 years ago, 30 years ago, they were part of it. And I approached them to see if I could even do this movie, because I wrote a script first. I wrote the first draft, and then I went around asking, you know, like, can I even do this, or how much of this is feasible and stuff like that. And they told me, and then I kind of worked around that, and they still said yes after all that time. And so that was one thing. And then going around and looking at locations around the area, and I actually wrote a lot of the progression of the story with them traveling mm-hmm. and everything based on locations in the Black Hills, mm-hmm. just to kind of show like the progression of it. But honestly, this was a weird story. Like after I did the research and came up with the outline of it, I think I wrote the first draft in about 2 weeks, and then I felt pretty comfortable sending it out, getting notes. And then after that, I started morphing it around what I could do. And then there was just, I guess, something within the story, thankfully, that a lot of people latched onto and wanted to be a part of it. And a lot of the crew that came out, I worked with them personally, you know, over the years. And some people just took a chance on me, and it kind of turned out to what it is now. And it was a lot of work. It was quite a lot of work. But in the end, it's kind of rewarding to hear people take away stuff that's in it, like you're talking about with like the characters and the metaphors. It makes me very happy that people are seeing further into it than just, like I said, a creature feature, you know?
No, it's way beyond a creature feature. I mean, this is, And I think even Creature Features, we do that again because it's back to hugging the monster. It's about facing those fears. But I mean, I know Nancy's all into you doing a whole series. Would you do it?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to do it. I think
wouldn't it be cool?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm down for that.
Yeah, especially because I just researched all day about Wendigos.
See, this is, she's hyper now.
I'm like, yeah, I'm on it because I'm looking at the drawings and, you know, like the versus antlers versus horns, and does he walk upright? Does he have, or does he gallop?
How big he is. Like a lot of them have been like over, you know, 7, 8 feet tall. And that was another thing when we were going out there trying to figure out what we could do with the budget that we had. One of them was the creature makeup and the effects and stuff like that. And the good thing about it is, like, luckily we were a little restricted on what we could do, because, you know, instead of going out there and making a huge monster and everything like that, the way it is, and it actually made it more of the human side, and it made it more believable to the actual lore of the Wendigo, especially for the ending. I won't give away the ending, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually scarier that way.
That's the thing. I think what's so beautiful is that you humanized it. So the stories and the messaging comes through for us as the viewers. And I think that is the point of storytelling for Native American culture. It's lessons passed down from the ancient ones, down and down and down. And there was one part, the scene, you know, she's got her tribal emblem on her arm tattooed on there. And then she sees it up in the rock art.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something. So, you know, as we all travel parks and, you know, we're big national park going to all these places, and you see pictographs and rock art, and you're always wondering, and then you have people do stupid things to it, you know. It's like, don't try and recreate, you know, but these ancestral lands, and you go there and it's spiritual. I mean, these, you know, I always call them the newspaper rocks, because it's like, here's these big stories told. And when you put that in the film, it just made me so happy, because it's just such an important part of, you know, they're always just wanting to pass these stories down in some way. And that's again, I know I've said it already, like, this is, I think, one of the best ways. I know, as everyone's trying to get their languages, you know, documented, and even into the Library of Congress, and but film, you know, like music, and the music was perfect, you know, but through film, there's a visual idea, even, you know, just like you can get the idea of a story through film that is just, it's exactly what the storytellers did.
Well, even if you don't understand the language, if you watch a film, you pick up what's going on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Even just as an audio play, there's something, you've gone to true storytelling, which is what they did through the years, and whether it's on art. Yeah. So I think I would love to see you do a series. I mean,
I would love to. I mean, I do have I've been putting an outline together for a second part of it that kind of continues, not directly after, about 4 or 5 years after, but Dutch and Lester and Pickerton and Doe and Howie are all back together again and everything like that. More of a fun back, going back to the, to the Blackwood and everything. So no, it'd be great.
Where did you film? I know we got to close up here, but where did you film?
We filmed entirely in the Black Hills of South Dakota is where since I grew up around here, I knew a lot of these locations. You know, we had to get permission. We shot, and I, like I said, I kind of morphed those locations into the progression of the story. And as you watch it, you'll basically feel like you are traveling with them, because they come across different, you know, landmarks and stuff like that. And that was one thing I wanted to do, was feel the progression of them traveling. And and I felt like we found some really good locations to pull that off.
It was excellent. Awesome. I'm so glad that you're on the show and that we got to watch it. And everybody, seriously, you've got to go see it. So it is out in theaters July 22nd and digital and on demand July 26th. So through Saban Film. Is it Saban? How do I pronounce? See, my pronunciations, I'll like create anything out of words. So is it Saban?
Saban Entertainment.
Saban. Ooh, Saban. Okay. Oh, I like that. Ooh. Saban. Saban, everybody. Go check it out. And go to the Blackwood, theblackwoodmovie.com. Go to the website and kind of connect there, because it gives you some of the backstory. And dude, well done. It. I really hope you do more. We're having fans. You do more. Always come back on, please.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to me about it. I'm very, very happy that you watched it, and I'm glad you took away some things out of it. And oh yeah, I would love, love to do another one and come back on here again.
Absolutely. Cool. And listen, that there, this, the language, can both of us want to know, did they say those things back then?
Like it, like the cowboys and stuff.
Yeah. Did they?
I started. Honestly, I tried my hardest. So I watched a lot of Westerns, old to newer, leading up.
Did you
up
watch Deadwood?
Oh, yeah. But I didn't lean into it that much.
No.
But I was also, there's a big West, like the Wrangler and the wardrobe costumer. They're big Western people, and they're older gentlemen too. So they kind of helped with the wording and the vernacular with stuff as well. So I was trying to stay, you know, this is a surreal movie. And there's a lot of things grounded in real life and reality, but in the end, it's kind of surrealistic. But
lost it because the one guy said, "I'm sorry, everybody, in my language, but I'm doing it." But because, like, but no, this was so important to me.
Yeah.
Okay, I won't say it. But, but it's true. Like when you watch Deadwood and the wording there, some of it was brilliantly done, and you had some moments in this at the beginning when all the cowboys and miners and people are all together that showcased by their language exactly where they came from. And the French guy, you know, he was like perfect. I mean, it was just so perfect, and there was just certain, like, just as they rode into town, you knew shit was going down. Sorry. See, now it's already, like Sandra said, as we watched the movie, all of a sudden my language went out the window. And she's like, "You just watched it, and that's why."
You know, I did my term paper in English literature on F-U-C-K.
And
it's not a word. It's an abbreviation, and it means fine for unlawful carnal knowledge, which I found it hysterical because it's really all about the women being dunked in the pond because they had an affair with somebody
else in the
village. And but the guys never got dunked in the pond, only the women did, you know. And they, so, I mean, so
the women got fined for having sex and the men didn't, but there's a few stories behind that, but
so it's interesting. But so to me, the, you know, swear words and stuff like that, they're just words.
It's how
you take them and how you
But it showed that, it showed, like, Nancy and I were like, okay, because, you know, a lot of these Westerns and stuff had to, as this language, and we're like,
well, of course,
when did swearing start at that time? When was it, you know?
I did look it up. Like, I actually did research on the swear words too. So, like, when they became popular in like, you know, not popular, but when they were used the most and stuff like that, and where our time period is of this movie, most of the, I think a lot of the words, you know, the main swear words and stuff were actually being used at that time.
Sure.
So
That's cool. See, but this is, another rabbit hole. There it is.
Yep.
That's it. So, but no, it was just so cool. I mean, just the whole setup of the show was just like, it brought you, you already knew something weird was going to happen from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And the mist in the woods was like perfect.
Oh yeah.
It was just so, that was like, I'm like, dude, you know, it's going down. Like, that's it. You know, so you know, when that's there, you know. So it's just, hats off. I know we're both a little giddy because we just watched it and we're all excited about it. Because
I'm glad you are. I'm very happy you are, actually.
Yeah. I mean, we're like, you've sent us on rabbit holes, like adventures. So you know what we'll be doing for the rest of the day instead of our work. And that's okay. But everyone, again, the blackwoodmovie.com, go watch it. It is different. It is cool. And it will send you possibly down a rabbit hole, but at least you'll have some good conversations with your friends about it. Also, we want to thank our sponsor of today's show, which is the National Parks Arts Foundation. We love, love, love them. We do a show every first Friday with them here on Big Blend Radio, where we interview their artists in residence. And their artists, when we talk about artists, no, it's not just plein air painters, but you could be. It could be musicians, filmmakers like Chris, you know, dancers, poets, you name it. They do these amazing one-month residencies in national park units across the country. Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, a wonderful 5 to 6 bedroom house with a recording studio overlooking the ocean while you get to go into the park for a full month and create your art. Places See? Like Chaco Canyon and northern New Mexico, where you can go to the ceremonial sites. We're talking about, you know, Blackwoods, but northern New Mexico has some crazy history.
There's a really. Wendigo waiting there.
There's a Wendigo there somewhere. And places like Dry Tortugas, where you can go off and have your own private island off-grid for a full month. And you have to bring someone with you. So check it out. Go to nationalparksartsfoundation.org. And Chris, you should go there too. I think you Absolutely. Should go to a I think that's one of those things for you. I'm like, mm-hmm. you could go to Hawaii and get into all, like, how many stories are there with the indigenous people?
Oh, absolutely. No, there's going to, yeah, it's a rabbit hole. It's another rabbit hole.
That's yeah. another rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. All right. So here's to Rabbit Hole Radio. Everybody keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was fun.